But and all these comments, it's very difficult to reconstruct exactly how, you know, in what connection these comments came up.
Yeah.
I could remember some, but others were, you know, sort of vague at this time.
When was this interview conducted?
This was back in December.
Looks like about a four-hour interview.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Was anything ever been done with this?
Oh, sure. They brought that over to... they sent it over to the White House.
Excuse me.
To Harris Wofford and to Lee White. And... I don't know what what action or what studies the commission has made or has launched as a result.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to come.
I was trying to think of the other divisions in the bureau. My mind just went blank for a minute.
Is that a formal government publication?
No, this is not. This is an FBI publication.
I see. Is that available publicly?
Pardon me?
Is that available publicly?
No, it's not. But it can be gotten without too much trouble. Mm-hmm. What I did was I was very shrewd about this. I wrote to Rooney. And I told him that I was a former agent and that I was interested in keeping abreast of Bureau Affairs. And I asked, you know, that he send me a copy, because I know that each year Hoover has this printed, the transcript of his testimony. And it's distributed to all Bureau personnel.
Why do you think the press has not been more critical than it's been?
That's very hard to say. I think it's because they haven't got any access to any information. Mm-hmm. I think they're sensitive to public opinion, which is generally
favorable,
and to advertisers. It's probably a number of factors.
The response to Ferrer's remarks were really hysterical.
Yeah, fantastic.
We did a program, as a matter of fact, in which we first gave Ferrer's speech, and then we took excerpts from the press around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. And even papers which have a quite liberal tradition, like the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle has come out on occasion for the recognition of Red China.
Oh, really?
So they're not exactly they're a little bit iconoclastic, and they're not exactly a frightened newspaper. And yet, when it came to a question of the FBI, they were, they had their editorial already.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How can you do this?
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah, that was quite a furor over that.
Of course, it's been kind of my suspicion, that you get an agency like this, which has so much information on so many individuals, that, well,
oh, this is something.
Term blackmail cannot be used. Nonetheless, there would be kind of a, almost everybody has.
There's an intimidating. Card. There's an
exactly.
intimidating factor there.
There's very much an intimidating factor.
Oh, well, let me tell you this.
I think we got to get to that at one point near the end, I think.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't know whether we can get into how we can get into this or not, or whether we should. I guess we should. Although this was given to me in confidence by by Jack Anderson. Do you know Jack Anderson?
The name is very familiar. Who is he?
He does a lot of the writing for Drew Pearson.
Yes,
Drew Pearson's right-hand man.
Of course, you know.
He's with Bell Syndication.
Right, of course.
And I'll tell you what happened here. This is really fascinating. Here's a letter from another agent. Here's some other letters from agents. this was in the press, by the way. You asked me about Phil Turner. Was,
oh, yes. Letters from agents were just...
Oh, yeah, I was just showing Chris some letters that I've gotten from agents and former agents.
I was just saying, there are two things I'd like to end on, Dick, unless, I mean, are near the end, and one is a question of morale in the department, and the second thing is why other agents haven't come, you know, it's the question of why other agents haven't made any of this information public who have left the department, the bureau, and the third question, the question of intimidation of the... In other words, why the press, the whole question of why there has not been more criticism of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the question of intimidation.
Uh-huh. Fine. Yeah, I think that's a... Mm.
Where were we when we left off?
We're talking about anti-Negro attitudes and anti-Semitic attitudes. I think that's where we ended.
Are we still recording? This whole conversation in there was recorded? Good.
Excuse me, before we get going, are you prepared to segue to another tape, or we have to stop? You can segue. Are you prepared to segue to another tape, or are we going to have to stop? Okay.
Yeah. Well, do you feel that, you know, I was just mentioning it, Ruth, it's been about, it's been months since I've looked at this, and many of these very graphic incidents and illustrations are sort of hazy in my mind right now.
Mm. Well, we may use these ourselves, we may read these into the record ourselves.
I was just thinking that it would be a lot, it would go off a lot better if I had time to look through some of that stuff.
We thought that we would like to use some of the material in there verbatim from the report.
Yeah.
Along with the interview, to kind of give it. And I think the language used in the report is very good.
I took some pains with
exactly.
It.
Exactly. It's in the form of a legal brief, which gives it at least.
Yeah.
Which gives it a kind of. It's very well written, and I think very good for these purposes.
Yeah, I think that this really gives you.
But there's a sense that there's a sense that I think we can capture in conversation that won't be captured in that too. Mm-hmm. So I think the two used together will be the most effective broadcast.
What about anti-Semitic policies in the bureau? What about the incident concerning Mr. Rockwell? I was wondering whether you could just shed some light on that.
Yes, well, in the lecture which... yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Does the Bureau investigate Mr. Rockwell's activities?
No, at the time I was in the FBI, they didn't consider the American Nazi Party to be a subversive organization. In a lecture on subversive organizations and activities of various subversive groups, the supervisor in charge of that desk at the Bureau was briefing us on the FBI's activities in this area. And he mentioned that and discussed at some length the FBI's activities with respect to the Ku Klux Klan and the black Muslims, which were considered by the FBI to be a very significant threat to our internal security, because the FBI has found that the black Muslims will resort, you know, to violence to establish the kind of system that they'd like to set up in the United States, and the FBI has been very concerned about the black Muslims. At the conclusion of the lecture, one of the agents in the class asked him whether the FBI considered the American Nazi Party to be a subversive organization and whether they were doing any investigations into the activities of that group. And this instructor replied that the FBI did not consider them to be subversive and that they were not doing any investigations, and stated that from what the FBI has been able to determine, all they're against is Jews, and he didn't see anything subversive about that. And
this is a quote?
Yes, this is an exact quote. And the way in which he said it and the expression on his face from this, it was very evident that he entertained some very anti-Semitic attitudes.
How do you explain your own joining the FBI in view of this? Was there any problem in this respect with yourself personally? I assume you're Jewish. The name's Levine.
Yes, I am. No, I didn't exhibit any difficulty in applying or being admitted to the FBI or being appointed as a special agent. But I found that it was very difficult to work closely with other agents and bureau personnel who exhibited anti-Semitic attitudes. You see, there were very few people in the bureau who were aware that that I was of the Jewish faith, because apparently they're so unaccustomed to having Jewish employees in the bureau that it was just naturally assumed that I was non-Jewish. And I've had some really shocking experiences with respect to remarks, anti-Semitic remarks made by people who I'd been working with and talking to, just in the ordinary course of conversation.
Such as?
Well, there was one conversation I was having with an agent in my squad in the FBI office in Detroit, and he was complaining about how the damn Jews never open up their doors when you want to interview somebody in connection with an investigation. And there was another occasion in which somebody, one of the agents in the Detroit office, was commenting about the fact that this fugitive, which had just been captured that afternoon, had very cleverly disguised himself with a black mustache and had dyed his hair had dyed his hair black. It was previously gray, and he commented that this fugitive didn't look anything like his FBI photographed and looked just like a little Jew. And this was received with peals of laughter from the other agents. They thought, you know, remarks such as these were very funny.
Did you challenge these remarks?
I told this agent that I thought that his remarks were certainly unsuited to a special agent of the FBI, and that I greatly resented it.
And what was his reaction?
Well, he was very embarrassed by the incident, and he apologized.
What about other right-wing organizations? Did any discussion come up of the well-known John Birch Society?
No, I've never heard the John Birch Society mentioned by any of the Bureau agents.
What about some of the radical right groups like the Minutemen and so on and so forth?
No, there was no discussion whatsoever on any of the right-wing groups that I can recall.
Were you in a position to know most of the investigations that were going on, or were you simply responsible for your own area? The reason I'm asking this is this. Would you know if an investigation were taking place on something like the Minutemen or the John Birch Society, would it be likely for this to be known to most agents?
No, it probably would not. Some of these investigations are very confidentially conducted. However, the grapevine among the Bureau's agents is quite quite extensive, and in talking to other agents and in getting together with agents from other field offices in the course of training programs in Washington, you get reports and stories on investigations of you know, significant particular interests that are going on around the country. But generally, you might not be aware of investigations being conducted by the Bureau in another field office, for example.
But would you say in general that most of the investigations that you were aware of were taken against, or were being made against, what might be described as liberal or left-wing organizations rather than right-wing or conservative organizations?
Yeah, well, this was my impression, that most of the investigations being conducted by the Bureau were into the so-called liberal or left-wing groups.
You mentioned NAACP. You mentioned CORE. Of course, the Communist Party.
Yes.
Would you mention any others?
Well, there was... the American Civil Liberties Union. Individuals there have been investigated for suspected communist affiliations.
This is public knowledge, or is?
Oh no, I wouldn't say that this was public knowledge. But I think I should distinguish between the FBI investigating organizations as such, as opposed to individuals. As I stated before, the FBI has been very concerned with the possible infiltration by communists into such organizations as NAACP and CORE, for example. Now, they will conduct investigations to determine the extent of the infiltration, and I don't know whether you can categorize this as an investigation of the organization or the investigations of individuals who are members of that organization.
Yes.
And I think this should be kept in mind.
Yes. I'd like to get into the question of what the FBI does with information that it collects when it is investigating such groups or individuals in such groups as the NAACP. And to do that, I'd like to ask first how an investigation such as this would originate. Would this come from the Justice Department, or would this be considered part of the FBI's general mandate?
I think this would be part of the FBI's general mandate. They have authority to initiate investigations into subversive organizations. This authority was given to them originally under President Roosevelt back in 1936, I believe. And they have pretty wide discretion in the investigations or the areas into which they go into.
You mentioned investigation. Does the FBI have any kind of a mandate to do more than investigate? And if they simply investigate, then to whom is their material given?
Their material is not disseminated outside of the FBI, generally. You see, the FBI, in their criminal investigations, collects evidence and prepares cases for prosecution by the Justice Department. In that event, FBI reports are submitted to the Justice Department and to the various United States attorneys so that they can carry out their prosecutive function. However, these reports are very carefully edited, and there is much information which is withheld.
Why?
Well, I think mainly because this information, some of this information comes from confidential sources and informants who the FBI will not divulge
to the Justice
Department unless it's necessary for them to appear as witnesses in prosecutions.
I see. Well, this is the process then in criminal investigations.
Yes.
What about in security investigations?
For the most part, the security files of the FBI are not disclosed to anyone outside of that agency. They're maintained for intelligence purposes by the Bureau.
If a Soviet espionage agent is being investigated by the FBI and they receive enough material to determine that he is an agent, I take it that this information would then be turned over to the Justice Department for prosecution.
No, not necessarily. The last thing that the FBI would want to do with a Soviet spy or espionage agent is to prosecute him. There are several priorities. Well, there are several things which take priority over that. For one, the FBI will attempt to surveil or keep under surveillance the suspected Soviet agent, espionage agent, to gather intelligence information on the larger espionage network in which he might be only a small part. Also, the FBI is constantly attempting to develop double agents out of these known Soviet agents so that they can aid them in their counter-espionage activities. Finally, then, prosecution is resorted to when he can be of no further use to the Bureau.
But surely the Justice Department must have some knowledge of these investigations that are going on against agents.
Well, I'm not really in a position to know how much information the FBI furnishes to the Justice Department on this point, but I know that there is a very stern policy about disclosing any information to anyone outside of the Bureau because of the possibility of leaks. That they want this information to be known by as few people as possible. You see, the FBI does not have control over employees of the Justice Department. They have no way to protect the security of the information once it leaves their hands. And so they don't generally, as a rule, give any information to anyone, including the Justice Department, unless it's absolutely necessary for the prosecutive function of the department.
Well, do they investigate employees of the Justice Department?
Yes,
don't they?
Yes, they do.
Well, isn't that control?
They investigate applicants for positions with the Justice Department, but this is engaged in only at the time that an employee is being hired initially.
What kind of control do they have over agents themselves? You mentioned the word control.
Well, the FBI has a system which they've developed in which all Bureau personnel, all agents, are required to notify the Bureau of almost every aspect of their personal life. They have to call in to their field offices every 3 hours, during the normal waking hours of the day and night, and let them know where they are at all times. They have to have approval from the FBI for instance to get married to a particular person. It's not only important for an agent to have a clean background, but also his family, his friends, and his fiance or his wife. And there are many areas such as these in which the FBI has keeps close control and watch over its employees and their personal activities, as well as their official duties.